This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magotus. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Luke, the Gospel, according to Luke, chapter 22. Amen. We're going to parade and peruse the periphery of verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. Amen. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. I want to use for a thought, I made it by prayer. Amen. I made it by prayer. How many know that some of us only made it by prayer? It's not because I was so good or because I was well-versed in scripture that I made it through some of the things I made it through. It's not because I knew exactly what to say, but it was because somebody prayed for me. Amen. We need to know that sometimes we can't even pray for ourselves. Amen. The Bible even tells us in Romans chapter 8, he says that you don't know what to pray for, so the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And since we don't know what to pray for, we got an advocate. We got a mediator. We got somebody that prays for us. Amen. Amen. You know, they used to have a song. One lady made it real famous. We used to always say, I had a praying mother, but Candace Staten, she said, I had a praying grandmother. Right. Amen. Many of us understand and know, we know if that we're living right now based on what some of those prayers produced. The Gospel according to Luke, it is a book that I believe is very powerful. It's one of the longest books in the Bible. It tells us about who Jesus is as the Son of Man. Amen. To give us a great example of who he was. Amen. And how we ought to live and what we ought to do also. Amen. Luke was a doctor, a physician. So being a physician or a doctor, you know, he knows just what to give you. And I always say that he gives you the gospel. He prescribes this for you so that you'll take it. Amen. And that it'll bring health to your soul. Amen. Now, the setting that we're in is at the time when Jesus is ready to have, it is time of unleavened bread, and Jesus is wanting to have Passover with his disciples. I'm going to read 14 verses, but I promise to bring you to the point where I want you to be in understanding a few things that I want to say about these scriptures. We're going to start reading at verse 1. And when you have Ezekiel, it's the Old Testament, Ezekiel 37. Won't you say, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. Ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking. The bones came together. Behold, a bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus said the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into a land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. For those who are panicking because they see 14 verses of scripture and I got the mic, it's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, because what it says in verse 11, part B of it, it says that our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we're cut off for our parts. Because it says that, sometimes we feel that way. And I want to use for a thought this morning, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Right. Speak a word. Amen. Amen. I mean, to know it doesn't matter what it looks like. Amen. Just speak a word. Amen. I mean, the Bible here in Ezekiel, let me just give you some background about him. He is what we call in theology, we call him one of the major prophets. Not that he is more major than a Haggai or a Micah, but it's just that he said more in his writings than the other. And so that makes him and puts him in the category of being a major prophet. He came along during the time of captivity when Babylon, they were taken to Babylon. They destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They destroyed the place of worship, the temple. They just went through and destroyed and burned everything and took him away captive. He was not like Jeremiah, because Jeremiah came up through the middle class, if you will, and he was a prophet and he was left to prophesy. But Ezekiel, because he was in the upper class, Ezekiel was taken captive and brought back to Babylon. Amen. And if you were a student of the Bible, you can read one of the Psalms that says that as we sat by the river Chebar, he says that we hung our harps upon the willow trees, because they that have took us captive had desired of us to sing a song. Then they said, how can we sing in a strange land? Amen. And sometimes we feel that way because we have no hope. Amen. Sometimes we feel that way because we're in a place that we don't really want to be in. Whether that place is a mental state, a financial state, a spiritual state, or a physical state that we don't want to be in. Amen. We are in that place and we feel the same way that they felt, captive. They felt broken. They felt that all hope was gone. Amen. Ezekiel himself, his name means he who God will strengthen. Amen. Or the strength of the Lord. Amen.
And the reason for his name, now, one theologian said that he don't know if that was really his name or if that's the name he gave himself, because you think about the things that he had to do. You're talking about somebody who had to eat food that was cooked, eat dung, amen, that was cooked, amen, and things like that. How in the world could God require you to do such a thing? He required Ezekiel, and Ezekiel said, you know what, in order to do that, I would think that God got to give me strength. God has to give me strength. He had to lay on one side and sleep on one side for so many days and stuff like that. Things that we couldn't do. We can't even lay on the couch before we get a crook in our neck. Amen. He had to walk around and show his parts. Amen. His back end. He had to show all of this. And God would have to strengthen you to be able to do those things and do it because he said it. Amen. Now here is Ezekiel. The Bible says, now he Ezekiel is a man of vision. Amen. So much and so vivid that the people on the History Channel say that he had to be seeing aliens. Amen. His visions were so vivid, and they don't understand it. And you know what? I don't blame him from trying to figure it out. But if you don't understand it, just give God credit. Amen. I can't really explain what went on, but I do know that God is God. And then when Ezekiel said it was as a wheel in the middle of the wheel, I trust that that was God's doing. Amen? Amen. Now, when we get to talking about this and looking at the reason why it doesn't matter what it looks like, we find out that in just chapter 37, Ezekiel says the hand of the Lord was upon him. Amen. You know, when God's hand is upon you, there's no telling where you might end up. When God's hand is upon you, there's no telling what you might see. Oh, come on and say amen. Amen. You know, sometimes you can see something. You can see some things that are on people or some things that may happen to people, amen, because of the hand of the Lord. But you have to trust God that he knows what he's doing. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. Now, here was Ezekiel. He says that God's hand was upon him and he took him. Amen. And showed him a valley full of bones. Amen. And so when we think about him seeing a valley full of bones, the first thing that we think about is death. We think about the graveyard. We think about a hopeless condition because according to man, there's no hope for one who's already dead. Come on and say amen. When people are in a position to where they see something like Ezekiel have seen, they become helpless, amen? And when people feel helpless, they feel dejected. They feel demoralized. They feel despondent. They feel desperate because of the situation that they're in. They feel that way, and they feel like the future that they have is dim and grim and dark. Come on and say amen. They feel like that there's no light, that there's no hope, that they're in a no-win situation, amen? They feel like as if I might as well be dead because my situation can't get any better. Come on and say amen. And so when he went and took him in the spirit and set him in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and look at this, verse 2 says, and he caused me to pass round about them, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. When we look at this, we got to understand something here. We got to look at the problem and the position in which God put him. Hallelujah. I'm going to get to it. Amen. We look at the problem, the position where God put him. He took him and set him in the valley. He was doing fine where he was, but the Spirit of God took him and then made him go round about so he can see everything. Many of us, we don't want to see certain things. Come on and say amen. We don't want to go to funerals. We don't want to go to, I don't want to see them like that. Come on and say amen. But here it was, Ezekiel was looking at several people who had died, so many that it was just a valley full of dry bones. And then he turned around and said that they were very dry. This was an indication that it's been that way for a while. How many of you have a situation that seemed hopeless and it's been that way for a while? Y'all don't hear me now. And the thing about it, sometimes God will put us in situation and we say, well, that can't be God. But yeah, God will put us there, not so that we'll be a part of the situation, not so that we become dry bones, not so that we would die in the situation, because God wants you to go there so that you can bring life to a dead situation. Amen. And so instead of you crying about where you've been put, crying about how God has placed you in this position, oh, come on and say amen. Crying about the problem that you're facing, stop crying and start speaking. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It looks bad. Yes, it does. It looks dim. It looks grim. It looks like there is no hope. And he says that he caused me to pass round about him. In other words, he didn't just walk up and see a few. God took him and showed him the whole mountain view. Amen. He got to see everything that was in the valley. And the valley was full of dead, very dry bones. In other words, when you have something that's been there a while, some situation that's just that bad, it seemed like at any time something could break. Oh, come on and say amen. When you have very dry bones, it don't take much to break them. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, the structure that you're under, the situation that you're in, it seemed like I'm just barely holding on and just a little bit more will break me. Come on and say amen. What's the straw that broke the camel's back? Oh, come on, he can carry the load, but put one more straw up there and it'll break him down. How many of you been in a situation like that? How many people can say, look, I'm in a situation that one more thing might cause me to break out. One more thing might cause me to break down. But then when we're looking at those things that might cause us to break down and break out and have a nervous breakdown, what about if that one more thing God does can cause you to break through? If you're at a point to where you can break down, stop looking for the breakdown. Come on. And look for God to give you a breakthrough. I got to break through some things. Amen. I got to break through all of the problems and the situations that I'm in. I have to break through. So when we look at this, the Bible says that he noticed, and you got to realize what he was already in a bad position because they had lost their home. They had been taken captive. He was in captivity, amen. They had destroyed the place that they went to worship, Jerusalem, amen. So they had no religion. They didn't have no church to go to. Come on and say amen. Here we are. We can come to church and still complain about the things that we go through. And they didn't have, look, no relationship with one another. They were taken from their family. And even when you look at the bones that were in the valley, each bone was put in different places. These bones was mixed up. They had no connection, no relationship. Sometimes you may feel like that I don't have a connection with certain people. I don't have a relationship with, come on and say amen. You may feel like you're out of joint with God. I don't have a relationship with God like I should. And so my situation is very dry. It seemed like I have no hope because I don't know how to pray the way I should to get out of this mess. It seemed like my prayers are not being heard. Seemed like I'm hitting a glass ceiling. Come on and say amen. I've been there, amen. Have anybody been there besides me in a very dry position? That's a problem. But then we look at here, he says in verse 3, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. What we got to see here, we need to learn from Ezekiel, the one who God has strengthened, is that sometime you need to be like Ezekiel. You need to say, God, you got to strengthen me. What I see looks bad, but it doesn't matter what it looked like. Oh, come on and say amen. Sometimes you got to say, God, you're the only one that know if this thing's going to change. And then when you begin to put it in his hand, he said, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. When you start putting it in his hand and saying, God, you know, Ezekiel said, look, I'm not going to give an answer, because if I answer from what I've seen, it's not going to work. If I answer from what I can do, it's not going to happen. And you know what? The good thing is, God does not expect you to do what he can absolutely do. Come on and say amen. God knows that you can't do some things, so why in the world are you worried about how you're going to do it? I know I can't do it myself. I got to have God's help to do it. And so, God, you know. Some of you need to start saying, God, you know. God, you know whether these bones can live. God is in your hand. If you speak a word, it's going to happen. If you decide to move, it's going to happen. If you decide to help, it's going to happen. Oh, come on and say amen. But we need to get to the point of saying that God is able. And whether he do it or not doesn't mean that he's not able. God, you know how to do it, when to do it, and how it needs to happen. Amen? So he said, God, you know. So he put it back in God's court. God said, can these bones live? And the wisest words that you probably will read in the Bible is that, God, you know it. If anybody know if they can, you know. In other words, I don't know everything. But because you are omniscient. Amen. Because of your omnipotence and your omniscience, you're all knowing, God. So since you know everything, you know whether these can live or not. Amen. Sometimes God will question you just to ask you a question to see how you're going to respond. Amen. Can you do it? Amen. I know I can't do nothing without him. Oh, come on and say amen. I know I can't make it without him. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. So when we look at this, the Bible says that in verse 4, he says, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say to them, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, the first thing that he does is after he recognizes the problem and he sees the position that God has put him in, he begins to hear God and he begins to prophesy, not what he wants to see happen, but he prophesies what God's promise is. Lord, y'all help me here today. He begins to say what God said about a dead situation. He begins to say what God said about a hopeless condition. He begins to say not what he wants to say. And so he answers in faith and say, God, you know it, and then responds with obedience. Come on and say amen. And so when he says it, you know what we got to see here is that he was showing us how to walk by faith and not by sight. He didn't go by what he saw, but he by faith said, God, you know it. And then he says, and he told me to prophesy to these bones and upon these bones. And he said, tell them to hear the word of the Lord. When we look at the prophecy and the promises of God, we need to know if God said it, then we need to believe it, because God doesn't have to say, I promise I'll do it. The mere fact that he can't lie. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. But whatever he said, he's able to perform it. He's able to finish a good work in you. He that began a good work and you shall finish it and complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to these bones, he said, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. And sometimes we need to tell our situation. We need to tell people, you need to hear what God has to say. You need to hear what God has to say concerning your condition. Instead of giving our opinion, instead of talking about our feelings and pouring our heart out. Oh, come on and say amen. You know how it is. I want to pull my heart out. No, you know what I want to do? I want to tell you what God says about your condition. I want to pour his heart out to you. Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. You want to know what God is saying? The Bible says that he'll give us pastors after his own heart. And so if the pastor come from the heart of God, I'm giving you what God is saying. If you're on his heart, I'm telling you what's on God's heart today is that it doesn't matter what it looks like. Ain't enough amens on that one. He prophesied, he said, hear the word of the Lord. And he began to tell those bones. He says that the Lord said unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and ye shall live. Now here it is, he's prophesying the last thing that's going to happen before the first thing happens. Lord help me today. How in the world is he prophesying breath and they don't even have skin yet? See what God does? God says, look, you got to see the end result. You got to see what I'm seeing before you even start talking about doing it. You got to see, look, instead of you saying, I just want to get my bills paid, stop saying that. Lord, just help me to pay my bills. Stop saying that. You need to start saying, you know, Lord, I see my house and my car. I see you bringing me to the job I want to be on. I see, God, my children prospering. I see them going to school and I'm able to pay for their college without struggling. You need to see that before you start talking about, Lord, just help me pay my bills. You see, the devil got you focusing on what's going on now. He don't want you to see the end result of what's going on. Come on and say amen. That's why God let us see in the beginning. He said, from the foundation of the earth, the Lamb was slain. He let us see in the beginning what he was going to do at the end. Lord, help me today. Oh, yeah, the Bible even tells us that God declares the end of a thing at the beginning. So God already said the end of it. God has already spoken about your end. Amen. He said that from the day before you came to earth. He declared the end at the beginning. He's already told us what the end's going to be. At the very beginning. Come on and say amen. And if God can declare the end at the beginning, we need to start declaring what God has said at the end. Oh yeah, he began to prophesy. And he said that I'm going to cause breath to come in you and ye shall live. Now they don't have skin, they don't have sinews, they don't have ligaments. And guess what else? The bones are not even in place. Oh, come on and say amen. In other words, it's still a mess. It's still just a heap, a pile of junk that's worthless. Amen. And sometimes you may feel worthless. Sometimes your situation, it seems like a bunch of junk. I'm going through a struggle right now. But you got to realize that the struggle right now is not, it doesn't dictate what your destiny is going to be. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Your condition right now is not your conclusion. Lord, help us. Doesn't matter what it looked like. Verse 5, verse 6 says, and I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And ye shall live and ye shall know that I am God. I'm the Lord. One thing about God is that he wants you to know who did it. He wants you to know that he is the Lord. That he wants you to know that he is Lord over poverty. He can get, come on. He's Lord over sickness. He's Lord over death. He's Lord over your situation, your circumstance, your falling out and your falling in. He's still Lord. And he wants you to know that. And so he lets you get in this position. He lets you see everything that's going on. And he said, now let me show you how I'm going to get you out of it. Let me show you how I'm going to work this thing out for your good. Oh, yeah. The Bible said that all things work together. Oh, come on and say amen. In other words, it's the word together. What it means is that they work in coordinates with each other, in accordance with each other. In other words, it's like a chain, and better yet, it's like a sprocket and a bearing, how they roll together, and you hook a chain to it and everything rolls together to make sure that you keep moving, uh-huh, to make sure that you don't be stagnant, to make sure that this stuff will work for your good. And so he tells them, first off, you're gonna have breath. See, God goes to the end of this thing and work backwards. Amen. God goes to the end of it and work backwards. He shows him that you're going to have breath. Then he comes back and says you're going to have sinews, which is the ligaments that connect everything. Amen. Then he says you're going to have skin. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah. All right. I'm going to get through. Y'all look like you're ready to go. Verse 7 says, so I prophesied. Look at that. He obeyed what God said. So I prophesied. In other words, I said what God told me to say. Anybody want to say what? Anybody in here saying what God has told you to say? No, some of us, we're saying what we heard other people say. Uh-huh. We're saying what the cliches that sound good. Feed them with a long-handled spoon because it sound good. Uh-huh. Every dog got his day because it sounds good. Come on and say amen. Not realizing that God says something totally different. Y'all don't hear me in here. All right, I'm going to go on and preach and get out of the way. He said,
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday,